Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 damn. True Underdog. Damn, damn. Unleash damn. The power within. Damn, damn.
Build it with me, baby.
I'm Jason Waller here with the True Underdog Podcast, Apple's top three entrepreneur motivation, inspiration, want to get it done type of podcast. Jason Waller here, and I've got a special guest today. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, any kind of podcast, go to the YouTube channel, check it out, True Underdog. But I've got a special guest today who I met in Nashville. And she was rocking it out, and now she is exploding in country music. You know, she's done so many things. She's at the spotlight stage at the CMA Fest. She's got a top 10 country, she's been at the top 10 country chart and top 50 iTunes Apple chart. My dear friend Kaylee Rose, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Good, good. Was that a good intro? Because, I mean, you're like the shit now. I wanted to make sure I did it right.
Yes, I'm really impressed.
Oh, good, good.
You really hyped me up well. I like it.
I remember hearing you sing. I believe I was there with one or two of the guys that work with me. We went there for lunch, and I'm like, she's really good. And I went through some money in the bucket, and I said, hey, look, if you ever want to be on the podcast, we talked about it a little bit. Things never came to fruition. But then I look, and you're like, bam, you're everywhere. You're exploding. Things are taking off. And you mentioned before that you're starting to live your dreams. Let's let the listeners and followers know who exactly you are, what you're doing, and then let's get into the story.
Okay. My name is Kaylee Rose. I'm a singer-songwriter. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been in Nashville for 8 years now. I am 26, by the way. That's always everyone's next question after 8 years. And then, yeah, and I've just been really killing it, honestly, in the past year. I think I met you right before everything started blowing up on TikTok. We'll get into all that.
Maybe it's because I was lucky. Maybe I gave you some luck.
You're my good luck charm. There you go. Even though you just said luck isn't a thing. Yeah. But yes, you are my good luck charm.
Good.
Caught you.
You did catch me. Nobody really catches me saying that. Maybe I was just the inspiration. Maybe us there were the inspiration for you or something.
Or
maybe it was the podcast. Maybe it was the podcast, you know, and all of a sudden it took off.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, I think hard work and good luck go hand in hand, you know?
I agree.
You got to keep working hard and then the good luck comes.
I agree. Well, you were born in Miami, Florida, so you're not originally from Nashville. Okay.
No.
And you had this, I'm imagining what most girls at 18 have if they go to Nashville, this dream to be a famous country singer.
Yes. So my story is a little different. So I am from Miami, Florida, but I moved to St. Augustine, Florida when I was in middle school. And I don't know if you know anything about Florida, but like the South and the North are like different states.
They're like basically different countries. They're literally like different countries. I'm familiar.
Absolutely. So I remember when I moved to St. Augustine, I didn't have any friends because my parents literally moved me in the middle of middle school. So it was awful. So I started teaching myself how to play guitar because I had nothing else better to do. And then just from there, I started playing in bars in St. Augustine. And age 14, like the show you saw in Nashville, I was doing that at 14 years old in St. Augustine. So I just started like, you know, building momentum there and getting a lot of experience. And then when I turned 19, I was in college and I told my parents after one semester, I tried, I did it, I'm done, I'm moving to Nashville, sorry. And they were very supportive, so... Yeah, and then I moved to Nashville by myself at 19.
19 years old. And I remember we only talked for a few minutes and emailed back and forth a few times. But I remember hearing a little bit of your story. And you were singing. This was like on a Tuesday or a Monday, right? It was like in the middle of the week. And you were grinding. You're putting in the work. People think like you just put something out there and it just happens. And they don't realize the hours and the time and the fingers hurting from playing the guitar. And, you know, your back hurting from standing up singing the entire time. And you were rocking out. I was like, she's good. Like, she's
good.
Not half good. Like, I remember telling them, like, she's legitly good.
Thank you. That's awesome. No, you guys were the only people there that day.
Right.
So,
hey, we
so
tipped
funny.
Well, though. We
you
tipped
took
well.
Good care of me. Thank you for that. I didn't forget that.
Oh,
thank
good,
you for
good.
That.
You're welcome. So you're a hip-hop dancer with ambitions of performing professionally. So in hip-hop, you go into country. I see that you performed, I think it's called, you headed the show for Morgan Wallen, right? My girls, my daughters are obsessed with him.
Well, it's Morgan Wallen.
Whatever. See, I don't even know his name right. I keep
Dude,
getting made
come
fun
on.
Of.
No, yeah, I did get to open for him a couple years ago, and he is the nicest guy, by the way.
So let's talk about this. So you go to Nashville. How does it all start? Like, you're there and what do? You get your...
Man, you know, okay. So basically, like, what I did in St. Augustine, you know, playing at bars all the time, like just finding the different circuits to play in. I did that before I moved to Nashville. Like, I started going to Nashville every weekend with my mom and just starting to like meet the different bar managers and try to get regular gigs. So when I moved to town, I would have it lined up. I actually worked at the Johnny Cash Museum for 2 weeks. My first
no, that's
2 weeks.
Cool.
No, but it was really cool because I got to know the owners pretty well. And the owners are huge supporters now, which, by the way, I have a music video that came out yesterday with the Johnny Cash Museum. But we'll talk about that later. But anyway, so I moved to Nashville at 19, lived downtown, like right in the heart of Broadway where you were, and just started hustling, you know, like making gigs happen, booking rights, starting to like network and go out with a fake ID and try to meet as many songwriters as I could to try to like start getting my chops up as a writer. Cause that's the biggest thing in Nashville. It's like, it doesn't matter how good of a singer you are. It really comes down to how good your songs are. And you're only as good as your songs are. So yeah, that's something I really focused on like from the beginning. And now I finally, 8 years later, feel like I can go into any room with any big writer and like own it.
Ooh, I love it. So you got all that confidence and swag. You just come in, drop the mic, let them know that Kaylee's in the house. Is that what you do?
Yes. And, you know, there's been many years before where, like, I thought I was ready. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, my songs, my voice, everything was, like, not really there yet. But that's part of the journey, too, is, like, you're supposed to grow. And I have grown so much, especially in these past 2 years. And anyone that's seen me play, like, you know, 5 years ago to now is like blown away at like the growth with everything, my songs, my brand.
I remember the year, it was September 2020. So let's talk about your grinding, you're getting the work in, you're meeting people. It's tough, these gigs, you know, you get paid a little, if any, you're really just getting recognized, yeah. Correct?
Yes. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, like, the whole Music Row game is so different than what you see on Broadway. Like, that's a whole different world. That's where I go to like make money, get my chops up, and meet people like you guys, you know? But as far as like really getting to that next step in music, you gotta like play the Music Row game, which is like all the publishers, managers, blah, 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 songwriters. But it's so high school. It really
did you
got
represent
to
yourself? You seemed like you kind of represented yourself. You hustled and made the
Absolutely.
Connections. Look at that.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Yes. But it's so brutal. Like, you know, you hear about how hard Nashville is, but you don't realize how much like politics is truly in the music industry. And so for the longest time, like before I started posting on TikTok, I was like getting close to like throwing the towel in. Not that I knew what I was going to do with my life. I was just getting so fed up of like having these people on Music Row be the gatekeepers to getting my music heard. Because I would play shows like the one you saw and get so much validation, not just on my performance, but on my originals from strangers from all over, that like in my head, I'm like, I know that if this could just get in front of the right people, it would kick ass. But like, are we allowed to say ass?
You can say whatever the fuck you want to. Okay. This isn't PG-13 here.
Okay.
This is the real deal. It's a true fucking underdog show. So you're good.
And I'm just so excited to get into the whole TikTok and like social media thing with you, because like last June 2021 is when everything changed. And from here, it's only been going up. So it's like,
so I want to talk about what changed. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about who inspired you to be a country singer and to do what you're doing.
I mean, there's a lot of people. Like Shania Twain was always one of my favorites.
You know, I've seen her in concert. She's still sexy and one of the best singers.
I know.
Singers.
She's incredible. I got to see her too when she came to Nashville and I cried.
So great.
I never thought I'd cry. But like, you know, and I also love like Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, the legends, you know. And I don't know. I'm inspired by everything. Like,
you like Zac Brown Band?
I do. Yeah.
Toby Keith?
Yes. So what I've come to realize is like I'm more a fan of good songs rather than good singers. So like Morgan Wallen, he has a lot of great songs. He's also a really cool singer. I really like his vibe because he's so different. You know, his voice, like I remember when he was first coming up, people were acting like, oh, his voice isn't that good. It's like, who cares? It's different. Like, you know, it's him when you hear him. And that's what's valuable about having a unique voice, which I think I have, too. It's very like not the typical girl singer voice. But yeah, like, basically, just good songs are what I'm a fan of. Like, even Cole Swindell, one of my favorite songs by him is Break Up in the End. I don't know if you know that one.
I do. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, so then it comes down to the songwriters. Like, it's more like, who are your favorite songwriters in town? Because those are the ones that are writing the hits for these people.
And people don't realize that, because I think it was Brantley Gilbert wrote the song that made, what's his name,
Dirt Road Anthem, Jason Aldean, yeah.
Yeah, see, and people don't really know that back end story of how that goes.
Yeah, and I will say, though, Florida Georgia Line is the reason I moved to Nashville.
Ooh, you had a crush on them?
No. But cool guys, very cool guys. But when I was in college, that's when they first came out, and they were kind of like setting the tone for this new wave of country where there's not as many rules. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they had Nelly and stuff.
Exactly.
It was hot. Right.
That's
yeah.
when, because I remember when I was like, I can't do this, Mom. I got to move. I knew it was Nashville, but there was a little part of me that was like, wait, should it be New York City or Atlanta? Like, where should I be moving to? I loved country music, but I'm like, I don't think my vibe, because I have a little swag, you know, when I sing. Like, I don't know if it's going to be accepted in country music. And then, bam, Florida Georgia Line came out.
Look
and
at
then
you
I was
say
like,
bam. Like, that's, we must be related. Bam. That's my
yes.
thing. I love it. Go ahead.
It was meant to be. No, it's fate that we met at Mellow Mushroom. You're the only person there that day. But, yeah, so they are the reason I moved to Nashville. Because what they did was, like, they were the trailblazers for country pop crossover. I know Shania Twain did crossover stuff, but, like, there was no one in this generation really, like, just going, nope, we are going to change the game for country music.
Yeah, and then what's-his-name did it, too, that's on The Voice, was married to Miranda Lambert. He started doing
Blake
it after.
Blake Shelton?
Yep, he did a crossover, too, didn't he? After them.
Yeah, Sam Hunt was the one I remember the most, like, after Florida Georgia Line came out. Sam Hunt came out right when I moved to Nashville, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is definitely where I need to be, because if Sam Hunt's music is getting played on the radio, there's no way I can't.
So can we see a Post Malone, Kaylee Rose thing happening soon, maybe?
Honestly, because he loves country music. So,
dude, he's a badass. He's one of my favorites. He's a badass.
Yes, I love
him. He writes good music.
Oh, yeah. He's a great writer, and he's actually a great musician, too. Like, he plays tons of instruments. Love him. Love him.
Yeah, so my daughters are obsessed with him. My 18-year-old's really obsessed with him. She used to call herself Mrs. Malone, and I took her to two concerts. And when I first heard about Post Malone, I'm like, who?
Yeah.
This was like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I'm addicted. I'm like, this guy, you know, there's writers. Like, that's why I like Pac better than Biggie, and we will get into that. But it's the same thing. I like the lyrics. It's not the sound. That's fine, but it's the lyrics that I have to feel. And
yeah.
Post Malone's lyrics are legit. Like, I'm
they're
like
really
hooked.
Cool.
I'm like, they're really good. And so I took her to that concert, and I saw him twice. It was really amazing. And the best concerts I've ever been to are like Zac Brown Band, Billy Joel, Elton John together. I've been to Garth Brooks. That was good. I've been to Kid Rock, Aerosmith. It was all right. But this was one of the best ones I've been to. And so it was a game changer, because just the way he performs, like, he's just unreal, and he's in character. He's in character the entire time, which is hard to do. Now, a word from our sponsors. Talk about June last year. So you're playing in all these bars, you're grinding, you're barely getting by, you're almost about to quit. Now, I want the underdogs out there to listen to this, because anybody who's successful has had multiple moments where they said, I think I'm done. I feel defeated. It looks like that climb is too high to get to the top. And it really takes a true winner, a true leader. Like, you're going to get into it. Someone who inspires others, but someone who actually lowers their expectations and their goals to one step at a time to get there, so they're not as defeated, because that's the problem. So talk about what happened and what changed.
I don't know why I'm like literally getting emotional right now, because even in the past couple of weeks, I've seen some really huge things happen for me that I never thought I'd get to, especially without a manager, label, team, anything. So, okay, TikTok, I was very stubborn with TikTok. I do regret that I didn't start posting TikToks back during the pandemic. I'm a little bit of a late bloomer with TikTok. And after, you know, I had accomplished so much, but it seemed to never matter to people. Everyone kept going back to TikTok. You got to post TikToks. I'm like, why does it not matter that I play like 1,000 shows a year? And like, well, you know what I mean? All this stuff. So one day I said, okay, fine. I'll give in. And like, I sat in my car and made a TikTok, and it got like 17,000 views, which was a lot to me at that time, because I only was getting like 100 views. So I was like, whoa. And it was my songs. Like, my rule I made for myself with TikTok is that I'm only going to post my originals, because that's what feels right. It's not cheesy to me. And that's the point for me, like, to post on TikTok, is to get my songs
and
heard.
Then people can share your songs and re-sing them. Right. It's a no-brainer. Great marketing.
So then it just started doing better and better. Every time I posted a different song, it just started growing. And then in June, I posted a song that I released in 2020. So June of 2021, I posted an old song called Love Makes You Blind. And it was actually my birthday. I don't know why. I just made it before we went out to dinner. And that next day was my first time not only getting 1 million views on a TikTok, but I got 2 million views. My Spotify, my Apple, YouTube, everything started blowing up. My following started just like skyrocketing. And then I saw like so many people making their own videos to the song. And then I started having people from like LA reach out that never like, you know, gave me the time of day before. And I'm like, whoa, TikTok really is, there's something here with TikTok, you know? And so then from there, I just started posting this song, Love Makes You Blind, you know, pretty often on TikTok, and then started posting my other songs. And I got to the point where like multiple of my songs were getting millions of views. And that's what's so cool too, because a lot of people in town, it's usually just one song they get lucky with that pops off on TikTok. But for me, I can say that I've had like 5 or 6 songs blow up on TikTok. And with Love Makes You Blind, I've gotten hundreds of videos now of people using it as their first dance song. Which I didn't know someone at my stage of the game could have that kind of impact on people to where they'd want to use my song for their first dance and the song they walk down the aisle to. So it's been a gradual thing. So TikTok really like saved me from one point of view, because what TikTok has done for me and any musicians out there, actually just any business in general, like before TikTok, before Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, all that, labels, managers, like everyone on Music Row, they were the gatekeepers to who gets to be heard by millions of people. And that's what always broke my heart, because I know a lot of people in town, but it's such a political game. And, you know, they now especially you have to like build your career before people sign you. Like no one wants to take on something new and build it up. They want it just presented to them, you know, with all the numbers. So what TikTok has done, it has made music an even playing field now for independent artists. I can get just as many views, just as many streams, and just as much exposure as like a signed artist, like a Maren Morris. Like I remember looking and like I had more followers than Maren Morris on TikTok and more views on my videos than her. And it just shows the power that labels have, because they can't control it, you know? And it's just created this, yeah, like I said, an even playing field. So then now, what's absolutely crazy too is just when I thought it couldn't get any better, Facebook. Who would have thought Facebook? I started posting my TikToks on Facebook and now it's blown up so much. I went from 10,000 followers last month to over 200,000 followers. I've gotten 35 million views so far in the past month. And now I played Country Thunder last weekend in Arizona. I looked out into the crowd and so many people knew the words to my song. And I don't
know. How did that feel? How'd that make you feel?
That's why I'm so emotional, because literally like when you met me at Mellow Mushroom was one of my days where I literally like you tipping me well that day was that little push I needed to keep going. Cause I was at my wit's end. I was like,
I don't want to take credit for that. I mean, you did a good job and I wanted to help you out.
No, but I remember you and like little things like that, that people did along the way were the things that were like holding me on by a thread, you know? And then TikTok and Facebook comes around. And if you go look at my Facebook and TikTok, there's thousands of comments of people from all over the country who not only love my song, but have become a fan of me as a person. So now I have this whole fan base that I never thought I could get. I haven't put a single dollar into marketing or anything. I pay for all my recordings. Like I pay for everything. And the fact that I have thousands and thousands of followers all over the country, and like now I'm getting to meet them, like now it's becoming a thing, by the way, where every show I play someone knows my song and they don't know me. They don't, that's what's so cool, they don't realize it's me that sings Love Makes You Blind or Me Before You. So I'm watching, like I said, my dreams come true without anyone's help.
That's so great. And what
it's
about
so cool,
and it's inspiring that you're making a difference in people's lives. I mean, you're using the song to walk down there. And then it's got to feel so much gratitude and, you know, so exciting and emotional, like you said, that people that you don't know your songs from where you were to where you are now.
I played in Arizona a couple weeks ago, and this is happening, like I said, every show. Someone comes up to me because they either know Love Makes You Blind, my love song, or they know my breakup songs. And I had a girl cry in the bathroom to me saying that she drove an hour to come see me because she found me on Facebook and that my songs have helped her through her divorce to feel better about herself. So, like, it's coming from all ends, not just with the love song. And I get messages every day about how I've helped people through their abusive relationships and through this and that. And it's just, I have a song about my mom, people saying my songs help them like heal with losing their mom. And I just like, yeah, it's overwhelming in the best way possible. Because think about it, like thousands of comments, thousands of messages, like never thought anyone cared. Like I was begging people to care a year ago, you know? So
look
cool.
At that. That is cool. What about, you know, when you're doing all of this and, you know, how do you support, how do you provide for yourself? If you're not, you said you're not spending any money marketing.
Right.
And you haven't signed with a label.
No.
So everything you're selling, records and downloads, you're getting. I fucking love that. That is that right there is entrepreneurship 101.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Taking it into your own hands. It's so key. So many people are scared to do that, Kaylee. They're nervous to do things like that.
Hey, you'll love this. My music video that just dropped yesterday, my masters for my songs paid for it.
Oh, my God. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So
I got to check out the video. I haven't seen it.
I just dropped it last night. So
I'm in Nashville sometimes. My good friend Joseph Newgarden. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
So he's an IndyCar driver. He just won back-to-back races. His wife's pregnant, getting ready to have babies. He's a good friend of mine. I'm there for a charity event all the time. But he's really big into country music too, and I wonder if he's heard of you before. I'm gonna have to send him some of the links. He's a big name in Nashville, meaning like in the racing industry. He's a good dude to know.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah,
Natalie well, Decker? Natalie Decker is
I know Natalie,
her...
she was on the show.
No way. She put me on her car before. So
oh wow,
yeah.
Yeah. I had her on a long time ago, like 2 years
wow.
ago. Before she blew up.
That's
maybe
crazy.
I got a little, you know, dust here, but
hey, you do. Look at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I like to be around and surround myself with people who want to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Heck
people
yeah.
who aren't scared to take chances. I go back to like when I was a kid, I watched my old man, love him to death, works his ass off, but he just played it safe. He didn't want to win. And I'm not that way. I bet everything every single day, right? Whether it be a business, a podcast, a book, it doesn't matter. I'm all in every single time. And I surround myself. And when I see people like that, I'm like, you know, I'm drawn to that. I'm attracted to that. Like, yeah, those are the kind of people I want to be around. And I saw that when you were singing, like, you know, you were funny, you were cutting up, you were making people laugh,
yeah.
you had a good personality, and then you could sing amazing. It was like, you know, and we were the only ones there. I'm like, dude, like, she's having a ball, man. She's fun, right? Like,
that was
here,
so
here.
Funny.
Like, it was a good time.
Yeah, no. And with to answer your question too about like how I like, you know, pay the bills and all that, you know, now I can say that it's a lot of it does come from Spotify and Apple now because of TikTok, Facebook Reels. Everyone goes to those platforms now.
And then they download it there and you get your rip.
Yes. It's not like lots of money.
It's
because,
not a lot.
You know, there's, I'm sure you've heard of the controversy how like Spotify doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, when you own the masters, you do get enough money to get by. But I also play 4 shows a week. Tomorrow I play in Springfield, Missouri, and then I play 4 shows in Phoenix. This weekend.
It's and my hometown.
I know. And then I play in Nashville every weekend that I'm not touring and out of town, which is becoming more of a thing now. But every time I'm in town, I make sure I play 3 to 4 shows. And they're all 4-hour
games.
You know,
I'm going to have to connect. I know we're an email. I'll have to share my contact with you because if I'm in Nashville and you're playing, I got to come see you.
You got to come see.
Up?
Yes.
You know? Didn't we get shots or something too? Didn't
you
we?
Did, yeah.
See?
And it was like a Thursday morning, by the way. So
well, it's like 11. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. You know, yeah. Yeah. No.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about Biggie and Pac, you said?
Oh, I mean, it's been a while. I watched that show, you know, the reenactment show on them, but it was like 2 years ago now, I think.
Do you listen to their music at all?
I like Biggie more than Tupac.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
You know, Biggie's like club music and Pac is like, it's in your soul.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's in your soul.
Yeah,
where
I don't
Biggie's
know.
Like, you know... Going,
Biggie, Biggie,
going
Biggie, can't
back,
you see?
Back. Like it's like it's like club music, which is great to bebop to. But if I want to like hear something, feel something, I feel like Pac's better.
Yeah, you know what? I'm an East Coast girl, so maybe that's
oh,
why. Just...
Oh, Yeah, I'm West Coast, you know, dropping gang signs and stuff, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah.
By the way, you know, Phoenix, that's one of my biggest fan bases. Like, that's why I played Country Thunder Arizona and Camel Country 107.9 out there. The big FM station plays my songs all the time. Last weekend when I was at Country Thunder, I rented a car for the first time. And I heard my song on the radio for the first time.
Oh, my gosh. What did that feel like?
I almost got in a car accident. That's what it felt like.
I would have been like screaming, that's me, motherfucker. What?
No,
like,
I would have let everybody know. I posted a little video on my Facebook and Instagram.
On live. Hey, just so you know, I can hear myself on the radio, yo.
Yeah. No, I was at a gas station and I literally was about to pull out and just came to a stop and had to reverse because I was like, that's my song. So
that's fucking amazing though. That's, you know,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
that's exciting. I remember a few things that, you know, I won a EY Entrepreneur of the Year award. I've been on certain TV shows and I've done certain things, but it is cool sometimes when I get recognized as, oh, you're that douchebag, the solar guy on the billboards and the commercials. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's me. I don't get the love that you get. I'm the guy that owns a company that looks, you know, it's a little different. I get made fun of like Guy Ferrari, the other version. You know,
that's
I get
funny.
All of that. So, but what you're doing making music, it's next level because, dude, music makes people have feelings. It makes them, like you said, get over a divorce, get over a death in the family, get excited and love somebody more. Like anytime, it's therapeutic. Anytime I'm upset, I'm pissed off, you know, I don't know how to meditate. I should because I'm a high wire dude, but I don't. But I listen to music. And it depends what I'm in the mood for. If I'm working out, I want people screaming at me and cussing and fucking just being crazy. I'm listening to that. If I'm driving, I need something therapeutic that has meaning,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. Heck yeah. It's really cool that I didn't even realize it as I was releasing all these songs. Because all these songs that I release now are blowing up, you know, a year after I released them. And it's so funny that I never even realized I had such specific subjects like the mom and parent song, the breakup song, the love song, the abusive song. Like, you know what I mean? It's just crazy that I really tapped on like every subject. So I think that's why it's working really well, too, on social
media. Did you live through any of those subjects? Lots of
yeah.
breakup, lots of love?
Well, if you want to know the truth,
everybody loves to know the truth. Go ahead.
Well, I guess if anyone that's been following me on Facebook and TikTok, I get asked this question all the time. Everyone's so confused. I'm just going to clear the air right now. My boyfriend and I broke up for 6 months and I wrote Me Before You about him and released it. I did not think we were going to get back together. That's why I released it. And then we got back together. And then I wrote Love Makes You Blind just out of like, you know, when you're like, no one's perfect and I'm not perfect. And so I just wrote a song coming from that point of view of how I'm so grateful that someone loves me through my flaws and all that. But, you know, I had him sit down because enough time has passed from when we broke up that it didn't feel awkward to have him sit down and make a TikTok with me. And he was everyone. I didn't force him to do it. He was cool with doing it because he knew it would blow up. And
good
so,
for him.
And so we did a video to Me Before You on TikTok and that blew up. And then we did one for Love Makes You Blind. But people were so confused because they're like, I thought you broke up with him. Now you're back together with him. Why are you forcing him to be in the video? Like every comment you can imagine.
Setting the record straight.
The record straight. The breakup was so long ago that we both can laugh about it now. And he's just very got like, what is it? Not, I guess kind of resting bitch face on camera, but also like he's just not very like comfortable in front of the camera. So for everyone that thinks he's crying in the videos, he is not.
You know, that's funny. Opposites attract, right? People, if you're the lead here and you're the face and you're the star and you love the camera, naturally you're going to be with someone who doesn't. It's weird. That's every time I meet people, it's like that. It's like that with me and my wife, right? I like to be the shining star and she's like the one behind there like, hey, listen, motherfucker, like
yeah.
relax, right?
Yeah,
calm
yeah.
down. Oh, okay. My bad.
Yes. The steady for us, you know, we need a steady
keep us
person.
Between the buoys so we don't run off and something happen bad. That's
exactly.
what it is. Otherwise, bad shit can happen.
But now I really hope like everyone that's followed me on TikTok and Facebook listen to this so I don't have to keep replying to people when they ask the same questions over and over again.
Well, you have to share. You'll get clips of this and you have to share it on there. And I will obviously do the same thing. Now, a quick word from our sponsors. Okay, so Kaylee, listen, when the validation that you needed, you said, mentioned to me earlier that you had to only live by your gut. Explain that real quick.
Yeah. So like basically all these years in Nashville, I had to just rely on my gut feeling and I never really got the validation from people in Nashville on Music Row. And you know, it's just crazy that when you truly do follow your gut feeling, and if you believe in yourself, like they always say, believe in yourself and you can make it happen. But there's been so many times where all I had was me to believe in myself. Like I didn't have other people to believe in me, and I just kept going and trusting my gut. And it's so crazy that if you really do just trust your gut and keep going, it can happen. And it's just crazy that it's actually happening for me now.
So you're living proof. I talk about it in my book. I got a couple chapters in my book just came out. You're going to have to check it out. It's an Amazon, USA Today, and Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Wow.
Yeah, I crushed it. First book. But principle one, make your own map. Principle two, there's no elevator in life. You've got to take the stairs. Principle three, never be held hostage. You were held hostage to advancing, doing what you wanted to do, not going through the process. Number four, scared money don't make money. Number five, turn failure into fuel. Number six, love your haters. Number seven, team out. Number eight, focus on the play-by-play. So you really, most of those principles are all of them. It takes that kind of thing, just that mindset to get through things. When you're doubting yourself, when you're hitting that crossroad of, is this for me? It just becomes too much. How do I get to the next level? Nobody's believing in me. It's just me believing in myself. But that's what winners do. Kaylee, that's what winners do. Winners that want to fulfill their dreams, they have a choice every day. They get up and they put their clothes on and they pick, do I want to go right or do I want to go left? And whatever decision they make, it's not a wrong decision. Just put all your effort into it. And that's
Heck
what
yeah.
you did. And I'm so proud of you.
And sometimes it takes 8 years to get to where you want to get. And sometimes it's not going to play out the way you think it's going to. Like for me, I thought to get the fan base I have now, I thought I'd need the labels, the teams, you know, like those kinds of connections in Nashville. But the fact that I really got everything I have now by myself without any help just shows that, like, if you really do want something bad enough, you just have to keep going. And if, you know, it takes 8 years to get there, so be it.
Bittersweet. Anything easy isn't worth having. It's got to be tough, or you don't appreciate enough. And people see that you're doing well, but that people don't forget. Like, you know, we've won a shit ton of awards, but if they can give out awards for failure, I've got like a billion of those, right?
I mean, love the iceberg example, the iceberg picture. We all know it, you know, like what you see on top versus how big it is underneath, all the work that gets put into it. So
true, true. Yeah, that's a good example.
That's the music industry. The music industry is that in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Nothing's overnight.
You said it's like high school. I'm glad I'm not involved in that. High school wasn't good to me. So,
yeah.
So how can everyone find you right now, Kaylee?
I am on all platforms at I am Kaylee Rose. K-A-Y-L-E-E Rose. I am Kaylee Rose.
I love it. And the we will have some of the stuff down there at the bottom. Do you want to maybe try to sing a quick note, or is that asking too much? I'd like to hear you sing a little bit.
Honestly, it's not asking too much. So what should I play? One of the songs that are on Spotify or my new single?
Play your new single.
Okay. Good. So this is called I Think I'm in Trouble Tonight. So this is my new single coming out next month. I'll be having shirts online too, called I Think I'm in Trouble Tonight. This is going to be your new theme song. Bartender's heavy handed with a handle in his hand, and I told him that tequila's gonna make me wanna dance. So he poured me up a double and I chased it with a lime. I think I'm in trouble tonight. I saw seven walking in, but the buzz made him a 10, and I thought that I was into him until I saw his friend. Now I'm drinking on two tabs, hope they don't mind. I think I'm in trouble tonight. Oh, I know in the morning I'll wake up and I'll be wondering why. Say I didn't see it coming, I'm crossing every one of the lines. Oh, don't try to slow me down, just get another round and we'll be fine. Ignoring everyone in neon towns, I think I'm in trouble tonight. Yeah, I think I'm in trouble tonight.
Wow, I could listen to that all day. That was amazing.
Thank you.
And that's a good song, because I feel that way every day I go have tequila. Like, that's my shit right there.
You feel like you're in trouble all the time?
I had one the other day. I came to work late, and me and, you know, my business partner were like, he's like, you want to get a drink? It's been a shitty day. I'm like, hell yeah, let's get a drink. So we stop. I text the wife. True story. I'm always honest on the podcast. I get in trouble. She didn't even actually listen anymore, so it doesn't matter. So I text and I go, hey, I call. She didn't answer. I text. No response. I'm like, grab a quick drink with Kev. No response. So just to cover my ass, I call my son. I'm like, hey, buddy, where's mom? She's upstairs messing with the kitten thing. All right, tell her I went to get a drink real quick. Gotta go. So I walk in. I'm getting blown up. Oh, I didn't know you were going out drinking tonight. Like, have a one drink. Get a shot of tequila. That's it.
That's so funny. Tequila is the best.
It is the best.
Yeah.
Have you tried 1942?
I have.
What about the real?
Huh?
The real, R-E-A-L?
I guess I have not.
So that's just a little upgrade above 1942. What do you think of 1942?
I love it. It's so scary good. How good it is. Yeah.
It's like a cigar, right?
It lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. I like Clase Azul, too.
Oh, I like that, too. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. That's the newer kind, though. That wasn't out back in the day when I first started drinking tequila.
I want to try George Strait's brand. He has a tequila line now.
Does
I don't
he?
Know what it's called. Yeah. We gotta try it.
We got to. Well, I'm gonna come to town. I'm gonna wrap this up right here. So hey, underdogs, make sure you check out I am Kaylee Rose, K-A-Y-L-E-E-R-O-S-E, at any of the handles, correct?
Correct. Good
See,
job.
Look, I'm good. And you that's a wrap. It. Make sure you check us out. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Castbox, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. That's a wrap. Bam! And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! True Underdog. Damn.